Hey church, we're currently in our At the Movies sermon series. Due to copyright laws, we're unable to stream this series online, so please enjoy one of my favorite sermon series from earlier this year, or be with us in the auditorium on Sundays at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m.
Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Yes, 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 I was looking for it. I wondered, would it happen again? And yes, it did. The secret rock aficionados out there couldn't resist yourself. As soon as that music kicked in, your head started going like this. I knew you were looking for the mosh pit. You were trying to figure out where is it going to happen. I'm telling you, you never know what's going to happen here at LifeLink. But here we are. It's time to worship God in His Word, and I'm glad you're here this morning. You ready for this morning? Today, we're closing out our series we've been on the last few weeks called Christian, and I'm so excited about what God has done in me as we've gone through this particular study. Looking in the scripture to see, God, what are you really doing? What are you really focused on? And how are you doing all that you're doing? I love when God meets us in the point of his scripture and says, here's how you're thinking about this. Here's what I'm saying about this. And look at the potential that goes with going my way. And God has done some great things in me as we've gone through this series. And many of you have actually told me this is one of the most insightful studies we've done recently. And so I want to say, if you've missed any of the last 4 weeks, you can go onto our website and watch free, or you can podcast them on iTunes. There's a number of ways you can catch up, but don't miss anything. And if you've missed it, go back and check it out, download it, and listen to it. For those of you that were not here last week, we were talking about the fact that as a matter of course, when Jesus left the earth, then he said, now listen, as I'm leaving, I want you to do, it's called the Great Commission, to go and make disciples and baptize them and all the things that go with following me. And what happened was, right after he left, for the next little short span of history, his meager group of disciples actually transformed the world by the power of the love of God moving through them. And that's all they had to go with, was simply the love of God. So we talked about how the power of the love of God transformed history, and then something phenomenal happened. As soon as they became an officially recognized religion, they leveraged something other than power of God. They leveraged the authority of power, and now all of a sudden history shows the beginning of the Dark Ages, and all of a sudden it went backwards. And we discovered that any time the people of God leverage anything other than the love of God, the kingdom of God goes backwards. It's not how God wants us to live. And so we looked at that. And then we took a close look, and last week was kind of part one, and today is part two, of the idea that Jesus said, my disciples are going to be known by their love for one another. And part of that is you guys loving one another is helping each other with the blind spots in your life, showing each other what those are, and helping each other walk away from areas of sin in your life. And so we looked at the word, but the word in scripture is actually kind of incendiary. It's the word judge. And we looked at that and thought, oh, well, the Bible, don't you know, Pastor Dave, the Bible says don't judge. And we took a really close look and realized the Bible doesn't say don't judge. It tells us who to judge. And basically was saying that judgment isn't rendering punitive declarations over a person. It's basically discovering or analyzing or evaluating, here's a blind spot. Take a look at this, and then let God actually transform you as a result of that. So the idea of judgment isn't punishment. God says, you're going to do that with each other, and that's part of how you're going to help each other grow strong. You're going to love each other that way. I'll do the judging on the outside. So people who aren't following me, I'll judge the world. You help evaluate or judge each other. Does that make sense? So we took a look at that, and then we kind of pushed pause in an awkward spot in the message, and I just said, hey, be here next week and we'll wrap this up. So today what I want to do is unpause and pull it all together and say, now, what does this really mean for you and me if we're going to be disciples? How are we going to actually do this together? So we're going to pray and ask God to show us exactly what he's meaning for us, and we're going to watch God do something great. So Lord, be with us today by the work of the Holy Spirit. As we study your scripture, we thank you that you, by your own spirit, help our minds become fruitful and see things in a different light. See things your way. And we thank you, Lord, for how you're going to actually use that to change the way we think, ultimately change the way we live, finally change who we actually are. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So if we're going to talk about the fact that God never used the word Christian in the scripture with calling his own people that, that historically it was the secular culture around Christians that used the word Christian to describe the group of Christ followers. He actually used the word what? Disciple. And so all the way through this, we've been looking at here's what it means to be a disciple, and here's what they're going to do, and here's how we'll be identified, and all those other things. That's the last few weeks. Today, we're going to kind of pull up short and take a real good look in the scripture and use it like a mirror and say, am I that? Does that make sense? Because we might as well not just study about it so we can help somebody else with it. We need to figure out, am I what God wants me to be as a disciple or a follower? So there's no better person than to actually figure out what that looks like than the words of Christ himself. So we're going to start in John chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus said it this way. He said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if, circle that word if. If you're taking notes today, just circle that word if. You remain faithful to my teachings, which means if you follow me and faithfully follow my direction. And then you will know the truth, and the truth that you then know will actually set you free. So Jesus is pointing out here bluntly that you're a disciple if you follow him. If you've never actually understood this, how syntax or communication works, this is something called an if-then construct. If this is true, then this is true. And the only way this is true is if this is true. If, then. If this is not true, then this is not true. I don't know how you would do it. Maybe like this and this or this. I'm not sure how you would do it. But the bottom line is, if this, then this. If this isn't, then that's not. It's not if you want to be, you're a disciple if you think about being a disciple. You're a disciple if you go to church. You're a disciple if you call yourself a disciple. No, the only way Jesus is saying you're a disciple is if you follow. Make sense? Which is really important, you guys, because a lot of people kind of fake themselves out. A lot of people think they're following Christ, and really all they're doing is kind of doing the church thing and wondering why isn't it helping at all. So let's take a look, because we don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste our life. God is big. He's powerful. He's given us his word, and it works for people who follow. So let's take a look and see and what that means. So Jesus is actually saying, write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, being a disciple means I follow what Jesus or God's word teaches. Okay? So I love that. It's just pretty much black or white, and it helps me because sometimes I fake myself out. But this way, Jesus is actually saying, here's the acid test. If you follow, then you're my disciple. And guess where it's going to take you? Write this down. It leads to freedom. Following Jesus actually leads to freedom. So Jesus didn't say, follow me into a religious list of rules that's going to just suck the life right out of your world. It's just going to evaporate all the fun out of your life. You're going to be the most boring, fuddy-duddy, whatever that means, ever. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said, listen, if you follow me, I'm going to show you what freedom is really like. And that's what we're looking at. So as we're going through this, I want us to remember that Jesus modeled, the Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the physical expression of God. In physical form, the Bible says God is love, which is full of grace and truth. And here's what I want you to picture when it comes to how he deals with people, which is far different than how churches deal with people. Religion deals with people very differently than Jesus deals with people. So if Jesus were dealing with people, Lisa, can I borrow you for a second? You don't have to go anywhere. I'm apologizing in advance if I make you feel awkward. I had to chase Melita down after this first service and ask her for forgiveness because I made her feel awkward. But anyway, thanks for being a good sport. So let's just say if Jesus came to you, Lisa, and in physical form, all of a sudden, he actually just showed up and said, Lisa, let's sit down together. I want to show you a blind spot. And I've been watching this blind spot, and you have no idea how damaging this is. This is affecting your soul. It's affecting your life. You think it's okay. You think it's right, and you've figured out a whole bunch of reasons why you like this, but it's poison to your soul. And I don't want you to experience that anymore. In fact, I want to show you what's really true. And then he teaches you what's true. And then he says, now listen, if you'll follow this, I'll actually lead you out of the pit of what you're experiencing, that habit or hang up or hurt or whatever that is. I'll lead you out of that, and you're going to love what freedom feels like. Y'all see that? What if Jesus actually met, thank you, Lisa, that was very, you just nodded and you were very sweet and all that stuff. And I could pick on Lisa because she really is a pretty godly girl. I can't use that illustration at all because I'm just kidding. Come on back. My point is, if Jesus actually sat down with you probably and did that, we would probably be pretty open to the fact that I'm going to listen to what he's got to say because, number one, he's God, and he's telling me what's hurting me and how to fix it. And if I go his way, I'll actually get freedom. If Jesus actually did that in physical form, you would probably be willing to listen. How many of you see that? Well, what's interesting is there's a pattern that we see in Scripture of people who actually do that. So when Jesus sits down with them, maybe the woman caught in adultery, the church leaders were trying to use her sin as an illustrated sermon to scare other people into righteousness. So they were pulling a good old church 101 trick. Here's how you spook people into trying to, you know, live righteous. You make examples out of everybody. And then, you know, it's like parents, you teach your kids, don't be like that person, you know. So, but that's how they were doing. And Jesus looked at that whole thing and said, that's a mockery of what God's intent is. So he said to the leaders who asked him, what should he do? Or should they actually commit? The punishment for that crime was capital punishment. Should they do that? And Jesus said, well, I know what the law is, so that why don't you who have no sin at all, you cast the first stone. And of course, they left with their tail between their legs because everybody has sin. And he looked at the woman who was initially the illustration and said, hey, listen, where are your accusers? They're gone. And I don't accuse you either because I have something different I want you to experience. I don't want you to experience accusation. What I really want you to experience is freedom. And so he said, here's the deal. And notice she did not rationalize her sin. She did not excuse her sin and try to figure out, here's 16 reasons why it's okay for me to do this. She didn't rationalize it. She acknowledged that sin. And then he looked at her and said, here's what I want you to do. So she actually submitted her opinion or her mindset to his lordship. And he said, now don't sin anymore. Now you go and don't do that anymore. And so she actually walked into freedom by following him out. Does that make sense? So we see that pattern over and over, and that's really what God's trying to get done when he says, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. Chris, he's not trying to say, listen, you know, you're just an absolute, you know, miserable excuse of a religious person, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, Chris, I want you to follow me into freedom. I want you to stop doing that. Christian, I want you to stop doing that and follow me into freedom. On and on I could go and just go down. I want you to feel this like Jesus clawed. Jesus would sit down with you and say, now listen, I want you to follow me into freedom. That's what really is going on when Jesus actually meets us and talks about blind spots of sin in our life. We're only sinning because we think it's okay. I don't know if you realize that. We've rationalized areas of sin in our life to make us think it's okay. It'll be okay. Or that's just how things work now. But Jesus is like, no, that's still against the way I've designed life to be lived. And every time Jesus meets with us to lead us into freedom, that's what he's trying to do. So the question I have today, when it comes to am I following Jesus, number one, write this down, am I resisting or responding to God in his way? Am I resisting or am I responding to God? When Jesus actually meets with you, the question is, and deals with you in an area of sin or an area where you're missing it, when he meets you with that, the question is, do you resist God or do you follow God? One of those responses has potential, right? Following God has potential. So, number one, when it comes down to the question, am I a disciple, I need to realize that being a disciple means I follow Jesus or his word and what he teaches. So the question I'm asking myself is, when God deals with sin in my life, do I resist and rationalize, or do I actually respond in obedience to his lordship? And that's just a good way for us to figure out, am I a disciple? And if you're struggling with that, I want to encourage you to reposition what God's really doing. He really isn't trying to make you a boring, funless person. He's trying to give you the steps to freedom. That makes sense? It's always that way. Number two, disciples love others like Jesus did. Disciples love others like Jesus did. And what I want to do is I want to take the example we were just talking about with Lisa a minute ago. What if Jesus were to actually sit down with Lisa and say, now, Lisa, let me show you my word on what's true or not? We would probably be pretty open to that. It would seem a lot easier if he would just do that in person. But what we're going to look at here in the next few moments, and this is a key, so please lean in on this idea, is that in his way, in the way that Jesus has chosen to do that in this season of time, he's actually doing. You're like, I don't get it, Pastor Dave, because I don't see him. And I'm expecting, you know, kind of long flowing blonde hair and kind of a really cool looking beard and, you know, those haunting eyes and robes. I don't see any of that in here today. Well, it's because he's chosen to do it differently, but he's still doing it. He's still doing it. In the era of time we live in, Jesus chooses to lead his followers by his word, the Bible. So God meets people in his Bible. And more tactically, if you will, he meets people through his word, the Bible, and through his spirit working through others who are following him. Okay, so Lisa, this might look like this. To your left, two seats down, is Pastor Jared. Now, normally, I don't use him as the illustration of Jesus. But in this case, I'm just kidding. Pastor Jared's a great guy. Okay, so, but in the context of what we're saying today is, here's how Jesus sits down with people who are following him today. Jesus, in the Spirit of God, inside Jared, by the Word of God, sits down beside Lisa, who says, hey, Lisa, here's a blind spot. Do you see it? Well, that's not Jesus. But it's the way he's chosen to, it's actually him through his followers in each other's lives. Now, here's how he explained the changing modes that happened. Because initially, he's the one who did it himself. Jesus showed up in physical form. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus himself was the physical manifestation of the word of God. God was here. And what he did when he was here was come close to people as love, full of grace and truth. So he reached out with grace and said, I accept you just like you are. You don't have to change to become acceptable to me. You're already acceptable to me. I accept you. Now, truth is, I love you enough to not leave you that way. Got it? So that's when God came close to people, he didn't go, Shazam! You're going to hell! You know, none of that kind of stuff. He didn't do any of that kind of stuff. He came close to people who actually did receive him and say, here's where you're missing it. Here's how to step out of that. You can walk in freedom if you come my way. That's what Jesus did. All right. Then he said, after 3 years, he gave them this shocking news. He said, all right, guys, I'm about to switch gears. You have no idea how to picture what's about to happen, but I'm going to change the way I'm doing this. And here's how he explained it. He said, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. Then you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, I'll tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. In other words, I'm leaving the planet in the form you see me now. But what he's pointing out here in this next few verses is, I'm leaving in physical form, but my function that I'm doing in your lives as love through mercy and grace, that function isn't leaving. Just the body is leaving. I know it kind of seems hard to follow, but what he's meaning is the message of grace and truth, the love of God, to change your life isn't leaving. My body's leaving, but the function doesn't stop. He said, in fact, it's going to multiply in a surprising way. And here's the way he said it. A new command I give you. Love one another. To which they're like, that's not new. But they were probably doing what we do when we hear the word love. We tend to think of things that feel loving or lovely, but we're missing what Jesus was actually saying, and they missed it too. He said, love one another. And then he qualifies it, as I loved you. In other words, what I was doing for you, I want you now to do with one another. It's not just be sweet to each other. I want you to do that with one another on my behalf. So as I loved you, so you must love one another. And then he says, this is how people are going to recognize you're actually my followers, if you're doing what I was doing in each other's lives. Please understand, we need to be loving to people. But love in this context doesn't simply mean make people feel good about themselves, make people feel affirmed, make people feel correct, make people feel okay. That's not what love is in this context. He's saying, as I was doing this to you, like Jackie, as I was doing this for people, I want you to do this for people now. I want you to help them see what it means to be accepted, yet here's the truth, and follow me out of the sin that you're in. Does that make sense? So he was saying, I don't want you just to be lovely to people. I want you to do this like I was doing it. And somebody in here just went, I saw it. For the first time in my life, I saw it. I saw it. I get it. I get it. He says, by this, all people, all men will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another the way I've loved or led you. So when it comes right down to it, you guys, as disciples, this is what it means to love each other. This function. Now, let me ask you two kind of qualifying two ideas or questions in front of you to help sharpen up this thing of how am I doing? Because the reality is that this is very individual to all of us, and I want you to have the maximum impact or maximum effect of what it means to actually become a disciple. So when it comes to this, think of when Jesus was close to people and he touched them and then he left. People were like, wow, I felt God. Wow, I sensed the presence of God. Wow, I'm different because of what just happened with me. Does that make sense, you guys? So in that same way, the question we have for ourselves is, write this down, do people sense God's love through me? Do people sense God's love through me? In other words, when you're with people, what are they feeling and sensing? Is it the presence of God? Or is it some weird joke or crude language, body parts, gossip? What do people feel when you're with them? Do they feel or sense God's presence? And if not, then my encouragement to you would be, you know, I need to be more intentional. I need to follow Jesus more closely so that his presence moves through me much easier. Does that make sense, you guys? In other words, if I'm going to be a disciple, then when I talk to people, when people are done with that conversation and we go different ways, I want them to think in their mind, I sensed and felt God. I was drawn to God. And like, Pastor Dave, man, I'm in ninth grade. That stuff doesn't happen in my world. But I beg to differ. See, God uses people in every generation exactly like this. People in every generation are desperate to feel the presence of God and what it means to sense him. So as you're following him closely, when you're talking to people, the words that sound like his are going to come out of your mouth. The values that look like his are going to come off of your life. And people are going to go, I don't know exactly how to describe it other than when Drew Oliver left me, what I sensed was God was here. Does that make sense? And I want to ask you to ask yourself that. Why? Because if that's not quite happening like you feel like it should, then there's a solution for that. Just be more intentional with the way you follow Christ, because the closer you are to him, the more closely you follow him, the more pronounced his presence is in you, and the more people feel it. Does that make sense? So that's something that you can change and do. And then lastly, I want you to, when it comes to this question, is, am I discipling someone else in a loving or Christ-like way? Am I discipling someone else, or am I leading someone else in a loving or Christ-like way? Okay, let me give you two extremely different illustrations, and this probably might help it come into focus. Are you standing on the street corner of your life going, turn or burn, you worthless sinner? Or, in a very approachable, graceful way, are you coming alongside of people and say, hey, listen, there, God has a better way than that. In fact, you know, I recognize that because the Lord really helped me with that particular issue. That was a blind spot for me. I had that hang up or that hurt or that addiction or that challenge or that grip with sin. I recognize that. I remember that. And God helped me with that. And so I would love to come alongside of you and be a part of God reaching you and walking you out of that. Are you leading someone? Pastor Dave, can you make that a little more practical? What if we just for fun or just for illustration said, Are you intentionally looking for people that you can invite into the presence of God? Maybe just invite them to church. And then just sit right beside them at church and just be available if they got questions of, man, why is it so loud in here? Or why is it so cold in here? Oh my God, why is it so long? You know, or whatever the question, you're just right there. It's like, I know. But I keep coming back. There's really answers for all that. But the point is, and then honestly, you sense that there's a kind of movement in their life, and you can sense that they're making some steps inside, and you just lean over and say, hey, would you, I'm going to Growth Track tonight. Let's have dinner tonight. Come over with me, and let's step into step one. Let's step into that together. I'll meet you at dinner. We'll go through this together. And all of a sudden, they're at step one, and they're having dinner with you, and they're looking into, here's what it means to follow Jesus, and here's what it takes, the next steps. And as a member of LifeLink Church, you look over and say, hey, listen, obviously you're making some big decisions for Christ. Would you like to step forward into the next step? And that's water baptism. And by the way, I'll get in the tub. I'll get in the tank with you, and we'll do this together. And then after that, I'll be with you in step two, and I'll help you with that one. And we'll just go through this together. What's that a picture of? It's not a picture of like, you need to get your life right because you're just not at all. It's, hey man, I was there. I'd love to walk through this with you. And you're like, does that really happen at LifeLink? Can I tell you it really does? In fact, last week, I'm gonna celebrate a quick one with you. Last week, we actually had the privilege of helping 7 people take next steps in what Jesus told people who follow him, next step for them was water baptism. And it's the same for every one of us. When we say yes to Jesus, next step, water baptism. I'm like, I'm not sure, but Jesus said to, and we just kind of go his way. And he fills in the gaps, and it's just all awesome. And so we had the privilege of doing that for 7 people last Sunday. And get this, 5 LifeLink members assisted for the first time water baptism. So we had a pastor in the baptismal and a member baptizing a person who was taking the next step with Jesus. Do you know what that means? I interviewed most of them afterwards and said, how many of you was that the first time you ever baptized someone? 3 of the 5 said, it's the first time I've ever baptized someone. And I said, you know what that means? That means someday when you see Jesus face to face, you can honestly say, Jesus, I fulfilled the Great Commission, because I help make a disciple. I help baptize them. I actually walk through that with them and help them follow your way. And you're like, can we do that at LifeLink? And if you're a member, part of the LifeLink church family, it is our great privilege to equip you to walk that process out. Why? Because Jesus said, if you're my follower, my disciple, here's what I want you to do. I want you to help make other disciples. And that doesn't mean just kind of try to be a good little Christian. It means you're intentionally coming alongside of people in the gaps and overlaps and the pain of their life, and you're saying, hey, I recognize that. I'd love to be a part of God's plan for your life. Let's walk through this together. Does that make sense, you guys? It's what a Bible-based, Christ-centered church family does. We come alongside of one another and say, hey, I love you. I'd like to walk with you through this. So when it comes to, we were talking a little bit last week about this function of judging. That doesn't mean, all right, here's your license to kill. You're 008 now. You can just license to kill. If you see some sin, just kill it. It isn't that at all. It's if God connects you with a person and you recognize a pattern or you recognize something that you think God's working with them, you can say, hey, is God touching you? Is God talking to you about this? I recognize it because I had the same thing. I'd love to walk with you out of that. What are you doing? Technically, you're evaluating, or biblically, you're judging. You're evaluating a gap or a sin because you recognize it, because you dealt with it. You came up alongside that person and said, I would, through grace, you're accepted. I would love to help you walk out of that. That's altogether different than how most religious circles work, which feel so great about themselves when they stand on their high and lifted mighty up altar or pulpit and go, you're a miserable sinner, you little worm. Gonna split hell wide open. I grew up in churches like that. I know what that feels like. And we're kind of laughing a little bit, but I want you to know that that's not how Bible-based, Christ-centered, spiritual church families work. And if you've been scarred by some of that, I want to apologize on behalf of those who are called to lead congregations. They missed the point. God has a different way of reaching people, and it's not by guilt, manipulation, and condemnation. But he touches an area. It's called convicting. He touches an area. You go, ooh, God's talking to me about that. And then you feel the grace of God and says, but he loves me enough to help me walk out of that. And that's how we do it at LifeLink. In fact, tonight we have step two, which is all about what it means to be a church family together. If you've been around LifeLink more than a week or two and you'd like to take a closer look at how LifeLink works, Pastor Sheree and I would love to have dinner with you tonight at 5. Childcare, dinner, all of it's all free. So we can help you take a closer look at what Jesus wants LifeLink to be. You know, kind of a free aside here, I had one of the moms in our church brought like all of her kids to Growth Track last week. And as we're going through this, I was like, man, you know, somebody getting baptized? Like, no, we just came to Growth Track because we heard another mom who had a kid who wanted to go, and they came and realized kids can go through Growth Track, and our kids want to go through Growth Track. And so here we are. I'm like, that's awesome. Why? Because the next generation is watching what it means to see what God does in his way. Does that make sense? So I want to invite you tonight. Come and let's do this together. Listen to the spirit of this. And I'm going to read a verse out of the scriptures that I believe is going to be helpful to you. Jesus said in some of his opening statements about, here's what I'm here to do, and then we'll close. We'll close and be dismissed. He said, and this is actually in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I'm reading from the God's Word translation, so it's not in your notes, but let me just read it for you. Listen to the sound of this. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. Jesus is saying, he has anointed me to tell the good news to the poor, that he has sent me to announce forgiveness to the prisoners of sin, and the restoring of sight to the blind, to forgive those whose lives have been shattered by sin, and to announce the favor of the Lord upon you. Now, doesn't that sound different than most religions you've heard? Jesus is saying, I want you to know what it's like to experience freedom. Freedom. Freedom from what? The ravages, the destruction, and all every time the fruit or the results of what sin does to all of us. If you've heard anything in today's message, or in fact this whole series, my hope is that what you've heard is the heart of God reaching for people, reaching for you, wanting to reach through you to other people, not to condemn people, but to set people free. And God wants to use every one of you who have a yes in your spirit, who are willing to follow him in that process. You're like, Pastor, I'm not even sure I can do it. In fact, I'm not even sure I am a follower yet. What does that even mean? How does a person become that? Because as you were talking, I realized that for me, I've just mostly thought about religion. I didn't realize that the relationship of Christ working through me wants to come up alongside of others and help them walk out of sin. Never saw it that way. I just thought it was all about condemnation and guilt and, you know, those poor people. But I didn't realize, and what I really want to do now is say yes, but I'm not sure what it means to become a follower. So, last point. We become a disciple of Jesus simply by recognizing him, Jesus, to be God, and then choosing to follow him as our Lord or as our Savior. We become disciples of Jesus by recognizing him to be God and then choosing to follow him as our Lord. How? By acknowledging that some of what we've been doing is sinning against him. By choosing to receive his lordship or leadership over our mind or opinion and say, Lord, I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to repent. The biblical word is repentance. It simply means changing my mind. I'm going to quit doing it that way, and I'm going to follow you as my Savior. I'm going to ask that you would come in to the heart of who I am as a person and then lead me forward from inside, because I want to follow you from this day forward as my God, my Savior. I receive you that way. Does that make sense, you guys? And so what I want to do this morning for perhaps some of you in here today who are thinking, I recognize that. To be honest with you, I feel God reaching for many of you today. And so I want to pray over all of you. And then in just a moment, I'm going to ask those of you that feel like you're at a point where you know, I need a life change. I need to give my life to Jesus and actually go his way. I've done the church thing, but now I need to follow Jesus. I need a fresh start with God. I need to repent. I need to go his way. And here's how you might know that that's you. Number one, you may not even be sure where you are with God. You just never thought about it, or you just thought church was what it was all about, and you're not even sure where you stand with God. Well, if you're not sure where you stand with God, then you need a fresh start with God. You need to make the decision today and start. We'd love to help you make that decision and start. Or if you know you're far away from God and you need to come to God or come back to God, then in just a moment, when I count to three, I'm going to ask that you would slip your hand up and say, that's me. I want to start over or start fresh with God. He said, is that really what you do? Yeah. And then we'll come alongside each other together like a church family, and we'll just help each other walk through the steps. It's the most beautiful, life-changing, life-transformational thing ever. And today, it's here for you. Bow your heads. Let me pray for you. Asking today by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would cause us to sense your presence and come close to us. Right now, God, there are many of us in this room who are making big decisions, responding to you, your leadership. And today, God, I'm asking you would give us the grace and the courage to simply call it for what it is, a decision day. Moving forward with you as my leader, my Lord, from this day forward. Today is decision day. Right now, with everyone's head bowed, all the eyes closed, if you're in here today, you know that today is your decision day. You're making the decision to turn and go God's way and be a follower of Christ, a true disciple from this day forward. Maybe coming to God for the first time or coming back to God. That's okay. But today's your day. If that's you, when I count to three, just slip your hand up. We're going to pray together. Number one. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to make you stand or come to the front. Number two, when I say three in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up, and we're going to pray, and God's going to do something great. You ready? Three. Slip your hand up. Come on, let's pray together. I see that hand one. Who else? Who else? Decision day. Just kind of wave it at me. I want to make sure I see it. Two. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? My decision day. Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Anyone else? I love what God's doing. God's changing people's lives, changing family trees right now. Who else? Who else? Thank you, Lord. I just feel the Lord pulling on somebody. I can't quite get past it. Thank you. I see that hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Okay, it's a big day. Three people with hands lifted up saying, it's decision day for me. I'm going to ask all three of you, when I pray, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer out loud with me. In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, today I want to say thank you for your love and the truth of your word. Jesus, forgive me for sinning against you. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, I'm giving all of me that I know how to you. I'm turning from sin. I want to go your way. So come in to the middle of who I am, my heart, and lead me by your word and spirit with strength I need to live for you the rest of my life. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen.